Welcome, welcome, welcome to the SubHub podcast. I'm MK Sullivan.
And I'm Danny Moreno. And today we are introducing a new segment that we are very, very excited about, where we are going to chat about USA Mountain Ultra Trail championships. We think this is an area in our sport that needs a lot more love, especially being based here in America, where these are our technical, like, organization championships, which, you know, are often how we pick our Team USA, recognized by USATF, etc. So yeah, we're very excited about it. So what are we going to do in this segment, MK?
Yeah, we're going to obviously talk about the USA championships, give you guys a little bit of a rundown about where they are, the distances, what they might qualify for you for, but we're also going to interview a couple of race directors, maybe some winners of the races themselves, talk to the qualifiers before the this year, the NACACs and Challenge Salina. And hopefully if you guys have any questions about US championships and like how to get into them and such, we can also answer those in later episodes.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. So yeah, you'll also see on YouTube that we'll put them in a nice little folder for you, so you could just listen to these episodes if you want. So to kind of kick us off, we're going to start this first episode with introducing the championships for this year.
Yes. So we'll kind of run through these and, you know, you can slow down the speed if you want to really take it in. But the first championship that we have in the year of 2024 is on March 10th, which is relatively soon. The USATF 50 kilometer road championships in Heckscher State Park, which is on Long Island. And I'm pretty sure that they do this race like quite often. So if you've run the US 50K champs before, you've probably run at this park. I'm pretty sure that it is a 10 loop 5K course in this park on Long Island, kind of next to the water. And it seems to be pretty fast. So if you're looking to run a fast 50K, you should probably already be training for it. But March 10th at Heckscher State Park.
Yeah. And it looks like the current course records on the men's side is 4:15 by Dominic Mignano from this past year. And then on the women's side, it's 4:01:55 by Colleen Aaron, who is 40 years old. Sick.
Yeah, which is quite close to the 50K American slash world record by Des Linden. So,
yeah,
you know,
very impressive. That's awesome. Yeah, so that's very exciting. Oh, and we forgot to note too, like there are 100K, 100 mile, etc. championships, but we won't be highlighting those as we are the SubHub. And then after that, there's a little bit of a break. There's no U.S. championships in April or May. And actually in June, there isn't any either. But we have a USATF team selection race at none other than Broken Arrow. And this is for the 46K. And the top two men and top two women will earn auto spots for the NACAC team, which is the North American Central America, North America, Central America Championship. And then there's actually four people on that team, and the other two will be determined by resume submission. So odds are if you were to get third or fourth, you would have a really, really good chance of making it. So yeah, every race at Broken Arrow has like something special to it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. And just a reminder that like this can be a little bit confusing because some US championships like don't qualify you for anything. And so like the 50K one that we just talked about doesn't qualify you for a US team, but you do become a US champion. And what Danny was just talking about with Broken Arrow, that doesn't make you a US champion, but it does qualify you for a team. And sometimes that's just because of the timing of whatever championship you're qualifying for. So yeah, we'll try to make that as clear as possible as well, because it can be quite odd. But the next one on the calendar.
I wanted to ask, was that like formidable for you this past year?
Yeah, formidable that I ran was a selection race. And so I got top two, automatically qualified for the world's team, but it was not a championship. So the championship was much
It was in
later.
August.
Actually, the championship was the second selection race, which
Oh.
was Breakneck.
Oh, that was a
It
marathon.
was a
But then
marathon
the
championship.
50K was the summer one that Leah was in the East Coast.
It's also
Ragged?
something ragged. Yeah, I was gonna say it's
Yeah.
also something like Breakneck where you're like, whoa. But yeah, so hopefully that helps to clarify a little bit. The next race that we have is actually a back-to-back weekend, which we're really excited about. We'll talk about it in a different episode a little bit more with the race directors. But first one being July 7th, which is the USATF Vertical Mountain Championships at Loon Mountain. Loon Mountain has held this race several times, so they know how to do like a US Championship qualifying race. And this one does qualify you for a team. So top two men and women are named to Team USA to compete at Challenge Stellina on August 25th, which is a race in Italy that's all uphill. One man and one woman will be determined by resume submission as well. And then the weekend after, so you could double up. We're hoping people double up. We're encouraging people to
Double
double up.
trouble.
July 13th is the USATF Mountain Championships. Which for the first time ever will be at a Cirque Series race in Snowbird, Utah. And that top two men and women there will be named to the NACAC team. So Vertical Mountain qualifies you for Challenge Stellina. That's the race at Loon Mountain. And Cirque Series race will qualify you for NACAC Mountain Running Championships on August 3rd.
Yeah. So, for those who were paying attention this past year, this was Sunapee Scramble actually hosted both of these races, which Grace and Mervy crushed. And so this year they are in two separate locations. So just try to keep that in mind. And yeah, we'll the second episode of the USA Championships, we'll go into this deeper, but these are just great distances for people that are new in the sport. Anyone could sign up for a USA championship. There's age group awards, etc., but it's also just cool to be in the championship, regardless of, if it's something that you're full out training for or not. Yeah. And so, after those July, that July double hitter, early August is the first international competition. So it's technically not a USA championship or a qualification, but it's what you qualify for. And that is located in Villa de Carbon, Mexico. And the women and the men that were selected at Broken Arrow and the Cirque Series Snowbird in Utah are the ones, sorry, that's who will compete at this race.
Yep. And there, I'm imagining, will be a 50K distance and probably something more like a 10K distance. So that's what the two races qualify you for. Yep. And then on August 17th, we have the USATF 50K Trail Championships, which is happening at the Headlands 50K in Marin, California. Also new to the USATF scene. As we just mentioned last year, the 50K Champs was Ragged. So yeah, super exciting for Jeff Stern to get a USA championship in his second year hosting the race.
Yeah, and it's kind of an interesting race because like it was alive and then I think it went away for a little bit because the course records are from 2015 and 2016.
Yeah.
Andy Wacker and Megan Roche. So that's pretty cool to have that race revived. And yeah, obviously there's a lot of excitement. And yeah, both Broken Arrow and Headlands have like all these cool things about them this year with Golden Trail and USA Championship. So that's very exciting. Congrats to Jeff there. And so after that, August 25th, that actually might be the week after the USATF 50K Trail Championships is Challenge Stellina. And we have three men and three women who will be going to this. This is that uphill race in Italy that you probably have seen. Grayson Murphy and Joe Gray won a couple years ago. Lauren Gregory's been on that team. Christian Allen and Anna Gibson both podiumed this year. So yeah, it's just a great opportunity for those who do want to try and make a USA team to get your feet a little bit wet. And what's cool is that it's like within the Chamonix time frame that a lot of people will be going there. And so you might be able to do like a double trip, which is
Yeah.
pretty cool.
And when we talked to Grayson about this race last year, she said the atmosphere at Challenge Stellina is like unmatched. So I've never been, but it sounds really cool. And uphill races are always fun. So this next one is kind of goofy. If you are somebody that's been in the like USA Championship space for a while, because on September 28th, the Berkey Trail Festival will now be hosting the USATF Marathon Trail Championships. That's in Hayward, Wisconsin. Berkey has held the half marathon championships multiple times over the last couple of years, but I'm pretty sure this is their first time hosting the marathon trail.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I've been there twice for the trail half. So yeah, this is going to be super awesome. The people who organize are the race organization of Berkey. I think it technically might be like a nonprofit because they also do the cross country skiing in the winter. They are so nice, so accommodating. They'll do like house shares with people in the community for people who potentially are going out and trying to win. But again, people are just stoked to be out here on this course, and the trees are always like fall colors. So if you haven't been to Wisconsin to do a trail race, highly recommend checking Berkey out. It is so charming. I love it there.
And it'll be like a marathon cross country race, basically. Like the trails there are cross country ski trails. And so kind of grassy, kind of rolling. Looks like a lot of fun.
It'll probably be pretty fast. I
Yeah.
think the halftime I might have run like one under 125 or like right near it. So it's quite fast. So yeah, check out Hayward, Wisconsin in September, late September. So then we have you skip October, nothing in October. That's probably good because Golden Trail has like their finals and other series
Sky
have finals.
running and yeah, WMRA.
WMRA list goes on. But never not never second. November 2nd, the beginning of November, there's the USATF half marathon trail at Moab. And they normally have the marathon trail, though I do think they did have the half this past year. That's what Bailey
Yep.
Kwalsik won. So yeah, that's gonna be super fun. Early November.
Yes. And I think this is the one that Danny's most excited about. But the last sub ultra championship that we have this year is on November 16th, the USATF 10-kilometer trail championships. And that will be at the Dirt Circus in Bentonville, Arkansas. Their first time hosting it was last year, and this is their first time being a USA championship.
It's super cool to see that they've included this, and this seems like a new distance for USATF Mutt. But highly recommend checking out Bentonville, Arkansas. Super cute city. They are the headquarters of Walmart, or that's where Walmart is located.
Yeah.
But everyone is just stoked to be there, like loves their city. And yeah, just like a lot of art too, like in the downtown and everything. And they are very much wanting a trail running community to like come and visit their trails. They already have it with mountain biking. So I was stoked. So if that's Rob Goyen, he used to own Trot Trail Running Over Texas. And then he sold it. And then now he's like talking to him. He wasn't supposed to race direct anymore, but he was working with Ultra Sign Up, and they've kind of lassoed him in. He's like, yeah, we have some races. Do you want to try them? He's like, sure, I know how to do it. So yeah, congrats to them for getting that championship.
Yeah, having grown up in Arkansas, it's like really weird to see Arkansas becoming like a trail hub or trying to be one because that's like wildly different from what it was when I was growing up. But super cool. I have run on some of those trails as well. I did the Spartan race that they held out there a while ago, and it's definitely very different. It's probably more akin to like East Coast trails than it is to like West Coast trails.
Totally. Yeah. And this time of year, I think that's the same time I did it. The leaves are
Yeah.
all on the ground.
Yep.
So if you like that, this is your spot. But yeah,
Yes.
beautifully made. It's very cool and great weather. So
Yeah.
that's gonna be great. So those are all the championships for this year. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. So you have seven opportunities at the sub ultra distance, with one of them being, well, then the eighth race being a team selection, and then there's two more that are the international races you could qualify for. So lots of good stuff happening there. Do you think you're going to run any of those this year?
I'm thinking about running the mountain championships at Cirque Series because I'm also thinking about running Speed Goat the weekend after that. So it could just be like a fun little double if I'm already in Utah.
Yeah,
What
no,
about
that would
you?
be super sick. The summer is a little hard. I need to like probably commit to staying home during July,
Yeah.
or else because that double sounds fun. It's like a couple shorter races and everything. Yeah, if anything, I would do maybe dirt circus again if I like have just a little bit left. But this year I just wasn't too tired that time of year, so I was able to bounce back.
Yeah, for sure.
So yeah. But yeah, we're super stoked to cover these. And to kick off this new segment, we have no other than Nancy Hobbs. She is the founder, yes, the founder of American Trail Running Association. If you've never checked out that website, you definitely should. There is a plethora of information about trail running, how to qualify for USA races, etc. And she created it in 1996. I think I read somewhere she was like in a room and everyone was there was a New York Times article that came out about trail running and everyone was mad that history repeats itself.
Yep.
Everyone was mad because they wanted we should have a voice, like we should speak for our own sport sort of thing. And so Nancy created it. So thanks to her because yeah, there's a wealth of knowledge there.
Yeah, and she currently serves as the executive director at ATRA, and she holds the position of chairperson for USA Track and Field Mountain Ultra and Trail Running Council, and is also the secretary of the World Mountain Running Association, the WMRA. So in this conversation with Nancy, we discussed the selection process for USA Championships, the key characteristics that they consider, and the steps involved in choosing a race.
Yeah. So in sum, she is a powerhouse. So yeah, we hope you enjoyed this conversation. We hope it answers a lot of questions. Feel free to slide into our DMs. It always sounds weird to say that. DM us if you have any more questions. And we actually have a section on our website, thesubhubpod.com, that also lists these races if you ever are looking for a quick way to find them. So yeah. So before you hear our conversation with Nancy, though, here is a message about our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at NeverSecond. NeverSecond uses a modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your need and activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. As a professional athlete, I was introduced to NeverSecond about a year ago after a rough race at the Mont Blanc Marathon. I was trying to take in gels that required a lot of water, but without a crew and the fact that there weren't enough aid stations to adequately match my intake, it became quite the struggle of a day. After that experience, I started using NeverSecond in training because their liquid gels weren't as sticky and require less water and are much easier to get down, making my race day and training nutrition immediately more successful and simple. Their gels also contain 200 milligrams of sodium, which is a real bonus on hot days and especially humid days if you're me. And if you want to try NeverSecond, just head to neversecond.com. That's never NEVER number 2.com. NEVER number 2.com and use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all of your orders.
Hi, Nancy. Welcome to the pod.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here with you girls.
We are very excited too, especially with the launch of the new championship calendar for the USA Championships for USATF. We're just so excited to talk with you because you've been behind the scenes for so long, digging into, these how these races are selected, how they're picked. What we end up going with, et cetera. And so we'd love to start with like what criteria and considerations go into selecting a race for a USA Championship event?
Yeah, so that's a really good question. And one of the things that we do is we try to do a proactive outreach, and races that are kind of high profile or races that have hosted in the past. So first of all, we have to get bidders. I mean, that's step number one, because if you don't have any bidders, you're not going to have any races. And then what the Mutt Mountain Ultra Trail Executive Committee does through USA Track and Field is we meet monthly or sometimes twice a month, and we review bids throughout the year. Hopefully we get most of them in like the October to December timeframe, but sometimes we get them a little later. But at any rate, our group gets together, and some of the things that we look for is supportive elite athletes. And granted, the events are not just for elites because we have open and masters championships. So it's for all levels of runners, that happen to be USATF members. We look for, you know, that lodging support, if there's some comp entries, prize money is also a key for us. And typically we request at least like a 2000 or 2500 minimum prize money. Most of our events have more, but that's something that we have done in the past, and we just kind of carried that over. The other things that we look at are the course, and the terrain, because we want to mix it up a little bit. You know, sometimes we'll have a half marathon that's pretty runnable and maybe butter smooth kind of trail. Sometimes we have a pretty gnarly trail. So it's kind of all levels. And we want to get that mix not only for the athletes, but also in promotion and for people that are getting introduced to the sport to know that there's different kinds of terrain that you can run on. Proximity to airports, and granted some of these races are in the mountains, so it takes a little bit longer to get there, and we also try to mix it up geographically so that we're not all in one particular area. So those are just a few of the things that we look at. Experience of the race directors, you know, feedback we've gotten from athletes, and that's especially important when we look at our selection races.
And so how do you guys get in contact with these race directors, and how many bidders do you guys usually end up getting each year?
Yeah, so Joe Jurczyk is our championships chair, and he, along with myself and other people on the committee, do the outreach. And sometimes we have more than one for specific distance. And usually in that case, we invite both the bidders to come on and give a presentation to our group. And then we can get questions and, you know, do a Q&A with them. That helps more than just getting a piece of paper. You know, a lot of times if it's a new race, especially, we'll often invite the race director so that we can get to know the person, or somebody has a conversation with the, you know, the race director so that we can answer any of those nuanced questions. And it is challenging, right? Because there is a commitment that's involved, and it's a little more work on the race director's behalf. But at the end of the day, our hope is that all of that balances out with the promotion that's done, with the athletes that are coming to the event. I mean, just as an example, our half marathon champs at Moab this past November was our biggest half marathon champs and one of our biggest championships as far as USATF goes in terms of numbers that we've had. We had 100 and I think 109 or 116 sign up in the division. And sometimes we've been as low as 10 to 20. So it was really a great jump for us. The other events that are always really popular, of course, are our mountain selection races and mountain championships and the new vertical mountain champs. So yeah, it's kind of a mix again, and it takes a little bit of work on, and just to be clear, everybody's a volunteer on this committee. Nobody's getting paid. So, you know, it's in addition to whatever else they're doing to go out and seek bids or, you know, go out and talk to the race directors.
Yeah. If I were a race director and I wanted to potentially have my race be a USA championship, but I didn't receive kind of the outbound, you know, initial invite from you guys, what time of the year should I reach out to you? Or is there any sort of form I can fill out or email I can go and send an email to?
Yeah, so the usatf.org website has all the bid documents there. So you can go right to that. And granted, it's sometimes a little challenging to navigate the USATF website, I will say that. But that's one place that you can go, or reach out to anyone on the committee. And even if you're not thinking of hosting this year, I mean, we have our calendar set for 24 almost. We've got a little bit of a work in progress, but most of our events are set. We're entertaining a bid coming up in, I think it's a week on our next meeting. But yeah, a lot of times a race director reaches out and says, hey, I'm interested. And then we say, okay, think about 25, right? And 25 is not that far away. So you can always reach out and get the information and maybe even as a race director, consider going to one of the championship events, learning about kind of, you know, where's the banner placement, you know, just things like that are helpful. Or most race directors, quite frankly, are runners. So go to one of the other events. But certainly we're very transparent about the whole process and would love to have more people that are interested and involved and think about hosting a championship.
Yeah, I think that you'll probably end up getting more bids as the USA championships kind of become more expansive, kind of like you've already been talking about. But what role does the historical significance or uniqueness of a race play in the selection process?
That's just one of the factors, certainly. And there's also that historical significance of the race director themselves, because you might have a race director that's hosted, you know, all kinds of events, or maybe they hosted bike events or a SCIMO event. So we look at the, you know, that trajectory as well as the experience of somebody putting on an event. But, you know, certainly some of the races have been held longer. They're really interesting for our committee. They're interesting to the athletes. So I think that's always a key piece, because you have to think about why are the athletes selecting certain events to participate in. So our number one goal is, you know, the committee and everything that we do is for the athletes. And we always want, no matter what it is, whether it's championships or being on a team or whatever it is, for the athletes to feel comfortable enough to approach any one of us on the committee about any questions they might have. So athletes might come to a selection race. They don't even know it's a selection race. So our part of our job is, it's challenging because where do people go to get the information? You know, they go to USATF. They can't always find it right on the site. One of the things that the American Trail Running Association has tried to do as well is to produce a specific page for USATF MUT so that there's that page, people always know they can go there to get the current information because we have control over that. We don't have control over when and how things are posted on USATF. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I definitely think that's kind of what we're hoping with this podcast too, is that we can hopefully help people, you know, find their way to this website, find their way to this calendar, because we would love for these races to be included in people's race calendars now, because obviously this is a time that people are starting to sign up for races and decide what their year looks like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the more promotion we have, the better. And, you know, granted, it's not the best it could be, but it's way better than it was, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. It's an educational process for sure.
Yeah, no, definitely. And thanks to folks like you who have been volunteering. I did want to touch upon when you keep saying when we select, et cetera, who does that entail? Because I know at least for myself coming into the sport, you know, having done Junior Olympics, like as a middle schooler, seeing USATF, but then seeing it USATF MUT, I was kind of confused. I'm like, who exactly is that in comparison to USATF?
Yeah, so that's another good question. What we've done is we have selection committees. I'll go back a step. USATF has an edict for us as a sports, you know, as a committee to select our athletes for international teams. And we are to try to get the best athletes on the line for international competitions. So that's our edict from USATF. And we have a budget by which we can then help support the athletes to international competitions. And our group, by the way, has the most international competitions of any of the groups. So we have the most athletes. And it's challenging because then you feel like that the piece of the pie gets smaller. but there's a lot of athletes we're trying to support. And our goal as the USATF, like our committee has made it that we want to have as many athletes on the line as we can. So for instance, in Austria, we could have up to six. Initially, we're going to take five. We could take four, three to score, right? And then you have a buffer, but we wanted to get more athletes as opposed to fewer because you have an attrition factor, but you also are trying to build a program. And you can build a program better with more athletes than you can with lesser. So that's one of the things that our committee, so our selection committee, and Richard Bolt has headed up the selection criteria for most of our mountain and trail teams. And then we have a separate committee that does the 24-hour, the 50K, and the 100K. And so that committee gets together, and athletes are on that committee. And I don't know if either one of you, maybe you've been invited to those committees before, but it's really good. It's not just a bunch of people that are at 10,000 feet making a decision, right? Which is what it has been, was many years ago. And so now it's more inclusive of opinions and people that are coming to the table. And we've even done surveys before, and that's how we kind of ended up how we select our mountain team is with surveys with the athletes. So that committee then makes suggestions for the selection, puts that together in a document, brings it to the USATF MUD Executive Committee for discussion and approval. So it's not just willy-nilly. There is an absolute process, and we feel that it's a really fair process through that selection. And we've had feedback from athletes, good and bad, and we take that in, and the committee makes decisions and talks about all the good, the bad, everything when making those determinations.
Yeah, I got to be a part of the committee this year that you guys invited to like help talk about selection. And it was really cool to see how many people had like real opinions on like where it should be, what would be the most similar to where we're going. And it's really cool too, because obviously it's not like track and field or roads where like a lot of the courses are the same. The track is the same everywhere you go. And so to get so many like different opinions on where we should be choosing athletes was really cool to be a part of.
Yeah. And thank you for your time to do that. Cause I thought I saw one of your names on the comments.
Yeah. But so before we kind of move on, we want to get a little bit more granular about the selection process for the races. So can you describe like the timeline and steps involved from the initial considerations to the final decision?
I would say it's probably about 3 or 4 months. Because obviously you think about the races, and to be clear, the selection races don't need to be national championships. So what the committee has done is look at events that are super competitive that may or may not be able to be a championship for whatever reason, but they'd be an ideal selection race. So that process, obviously you have the committee that makes a decision, but in the background, you have to be talking to the race directors to see if, hey, if we choose your race, will you do it? Right? Because you can have all the good intentions and then the race says, no, we don't want you. That's never happened, by the way. But, you know, that you have to get those ducks in a row as well before you can actually then make an announcement of what you're doing. So I'd say it takes like 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, that's great to know, especially for those who potentially want to be selected. We do have Julian later on in this pod who his race has been selected for the first year. And yeah, it seems like it is, you know, within that like 2 to 4 time frame, month time frame that you're going through that, which that's actually pretty quick considering how big of a decision that is to do those selections. But I mean, the calendar is full the entire year. So right. I don't envy you also trying to fit in creating the next calendar while you still have 6 to 8 races to go in the current year.
And it's really hard too. And that's why there's a lot of resume spots, because we know it's hard for athletes. I mean, you're not all making $100,000 a year or enough to buy plane tickets to go to all these places. And then think about lodging and, you know, if the event doesn't offer those things. So, and then your time away from your family, your, you know, there's all those pieces. So the resume piece is really key. And also looking at who stacks up against who. So you have that criteria that really gets down into the, you know, you have an A level, a B level, you know, so those are really important too for athletes. And I've even seen some posts from athletes that said, yeah, I really didn't think, I don't think I should apply, but then I kind of did, you know, thought about it again and I decided I would do it. So I encourage all the athletes, get in the mix, right? Don't feel like, oh, I didn't get selected this year, I'm done, you know, I'll never do it again, right? No, you've got to keep in the process, you know, granted, running is 90% mental, you know, right? And so don't take the fact that as an athlete, that if you don't get on a team this year, you won't get on a team in the future. So I think that's an important thing for all the athletes out there to understand that, hey, just get your name in the mix. And we do the same thing with our junior, our U20 and our U18 kids, right? They might enter, you know, they might send in their resume and it's not picked that year, but get in there, get in the mix, think about what races you're going to. You know, there's a lot of factors for an athlete and we're trying to help them navigate the best we can, right?
Yeah, definitely. So I guess why, coming from Nancy Hobbs herself, why should people run USA championships, championship races? Why are they good for the sport, both here and abroad?
Yeah, so it's always a little bit of a challenge because people have different opinions. And, you know, just be clear, you know, some people are upset about certain things that USATF does, right? No matter what organization you have, there's always going to be somebody that is not happy, right? You can't please everybody. But I think the USATF championships and certainly the Mutt committee and all of us that are involved are very, very passionate about the sport and want to do the best we can. And I think what I like about it is you have the elites toeing the line and you have masters athletes up to, you know, 80, you know, we've had 85, 90 year old people doing these championships. And it's really an opportunity to mingle and meet and build community. So that's one of the things that USATF is trying to do is build that community. And I think too, when you have athletes on the line, and I can say being at the Mountain Champs many, many times, and when the audience is out there and you introduce your team that's going to Austria or wherever, Thailand, wherever they're going, it's a really cool thing. And the people that are there are very supportive. And sometimes they even support financially because we don't have full funding. And that's key too, to get people that are interested in helping support the sport and helping it grow. So I think community is one of the big things. And you know, you're going to an event that is going to be safe and successful. You're going to get timely results, you know, all those kind of things that you should get at any race, right? And you can get a medal at the same time. You know, we do the top 10 overall men, women, and you can double dip. If you're in your masters and you still get top 10, you get a master's award, and we do 5-year increments, and all the national champions get a patch that says USATF national champion. So yeah, I think internationally it's looked at too. I mean, all of our or many of our USATF, our national championships are on the WMRA ranking calendar. I think some of them are probably on the ITRA calendar. So there's that piece as well. And, you know, they're recognized as, hey, those are events where top athletes are going.
Yeah, we would definitely agree with that. It's very recognizable, not just across our sport, like domestically and internationally, but for people just generally, because most people know Team USA, you know, because of the Olympics and World Athletics, that if you say you're part of, you know, a brand like Hoka, we think Hoka is so recognizable, but sometimes it's not. But if you say you're part of Team USA, people Oh, you're part of Team USA. That's awesome. So yeah. And I think it just is a really cool way to test yourself against, the best runners in America, especially if you potentially are seeking out a sponsorship, new to the sport. It's like go to the USA Championship. It's indisputable that you'll race some great athletes there. A question we wanted to ask, just because personally I feel that since I've been in the sport, I feel that the race selections for the USA Championships have changed here and there. I would say in a really positive way. And so I'm curious if there's been any memorable or challenging experiences that have happened in the last couple of years that really shaped how races are chosen.
Yeah, that's a good question. One of the things that we've heard from athletes is we're really heavy New England, but we have great support there. So one of our things has been, or one of our issues has been, to try to get some of the West Coast folks to be excited about it. And some of it also has to do with timing. I didn't bring that up before, but you can't have a qualifier in April for a September event. It just doesn't really make sense. Unless it's a longer distance race. But if you're looking at, I mean, you want to look at fitness level and everything else. So the timing, especially for mountain champs, is really dependent on venue, and it's dependent on, your host having an actual event there. And Sunapee last year in April, they made that event up for us for Austria, because it was like, oh, we had Thailand, and now we got to turn around and flip and get ready for June. Like November, now we got June, and we don't have an event, and we got to make sure there's not snow or limited amount of snow. Even though there was some snow in Austria on the course for sure, but at any rate, those things all come into play. And we'd been talking to Julian and courting some other race directors of races out west. In fact, we created an event in Bend some years ago, as y'all might recall. And Nike stepped in and was a big supporter. They provided like $10,000 for that event, and was very well attended. We got some new people into the mix. So that's the other thing that's difficult. If you're really East Coast heavy, unless people travel, you're going to be East Coast centric, right? If you go to the West, you might get somebody that wouldn't have traveled. So you're bringing a whole new audience when you change venues and you get things a little more. And that's what we've learned too. You can't just expect, we built the cornfield and they're going to come and play the game, right? So I think moving things around a little bit has been helpful for us as well, and has brought us some new athletes and some new faces.
Speaking of world championships and Austria, kind of to wrap things up here, we noticed that there are no selection races for the 2025 world championships yet, which makes sense because it's early 2024. But do you guys have any thoughts about how these teams will be selected? And is there already a discussion, especially coming off such a huge success in both Innsbruck and Thailand, as to what those races might look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. And when I tasked Richard, because I'm the chairperson of this committee, so I tasked Richard with thinking about 2025 selection like now. And the committee, when they got together, they said, we don't want to look at 25. We want to just do 24 right now. That doesn't mean they're not thinking about it. But I put the bug in Richard's ear like 6 months ago. We have to think about 25, and I know the athletes are going to be wondering. So I think that process is probably going to start in the next couple months, to think about 25, because we know the dates, we know the venue. We don't have all the specifics on the courses. We know they're going to be pretty grueling and gnarly. But one of the good things is the Masters Championships this year for the World Masters Mountain Running Trail and Mountain Championships are going to be in Canfranc. So that's going to be one of the tests, and anybody that's 35 and over can participate. And what's really cool now is that USATF for the past 2 years has provided a kit. It's just a, singlet, shorts, t-shirt, warm up top, bottom, but all the athletes that compete at the Masters get that. And so we had a great contingent in Madeira this past year, but at any rate, that's going to be happening in Canfranc. And so that's kind of a test. If anybody's 35 and up and wants to go check out CanFrank, that's a good time to do it this coming September. But yeah, so I think you'll be looking for those, you know, certainly no later than January 2025. But my hope is that we have something pretty dialed in around the October, November timeframe. That's kind of my hope. Might be sooner, might be later. But, you know, certainly drop dead deadline would be like January. But before that, I think it's going to be way better for us.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
October, November would be great.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because I feel that more than ever, athletes are looking more like 2-year plans versus 1-year plans.
Yep.
Kind of building out their year. And then especially with the world championships, if you're doing a longer distance, you really have to think 2 years ahead. Cause you're like, well, do I do Western States? It's in the fall, you know, do I do UTMB races, et cetera? How does this all fit together? Is that a selection race in Western States? I don't know.
what I will say is that athletes should go to competitive events because that resume spot is really key. And we've been relying pretty heavily, and the selection committees have looked at that as more important, not more important, because we might have an A selection, like we'll pick one athlete, but there's 4 or 5 other athletes you're going to pick, right? And a lot of those could be from resumes. So go to an event that's very competitive, that you're stacking up against other top athletes, and that's going to really help boost where you are in the rank of things, if that makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. I've always been curious too, how would you weigh, sorry, this will be wrapping it up just because you mentioned it, but how would you weigh something like the USA Trail Half Championship versus a Golden Trail World Series race that is of the same distance?
We look at them both.
Okay.
Yeah, hands down. And even World Cup and the WMRA, because we know those are competitive. So absolutely. You know, the half marathon down the street that somebody set up, like a local event, doesn't mean it's out of the mix, because if you know the course, or, you know, even some FKTs, if you know, hey, that's a really amazing time or something, right? And if somebody wins a race by, you know, an hour, obviously they must be, you know, pretty talented athlete. So, you know, we look at all that and look at what the athlete's done and stacked up. So it's not just at one event that you're looking at. It's pretty comprehensive.
That's awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Nancy. Hopefully we have some race directors as well as athletes that'll listen to this and be prepared for probably 2026, realistically.
Right, exactly. Well, of course, we won't have a world champ until 27, which those bids are getting in right now. So World Athletics reviews those. And I'm assuming we've got a list somewhere of all the championships and selection races that you guys can post, or if you need a link to that, let us know. And we'll get that information out and hope to see a lot of athletes trying it out for sure.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll include as many links as we possibly can in these show notes so that people can easily access them. So awesome. Well, thanks again.
You bet. Thank you.